This is Todd Sommerfeld. I'm a sales agronomist for CHS in Crookston, Minnesota. We are pleased to bring you the update from the Red River Farm Network, CHS Ag Services, providing solutions for your success.
Good morning, Farm News on the Red River Farm Network. I'm Don Wick with Randy Conan in studio. We'll have reports from Whitney Pittman and Tyler Donaldson, too. The White House this morning updating the Packers and Stockyards Act. The rule is designed to promote competition and market integrity. The announcement this morning coinciding with a meeting of President Biden's Competition Council.
USDA will release the latest supply-demand report on Friday. Most of the focus will be on South American crop production. Brazil's CONAB will also release its crop production estimates a week from today. StoneX is forecasting Brazil's soybean production at 151.5 million metric tons. That's up 1.1 million from its previous estimate.
Grain traders covered short positions yesterday. Ag Resource Company President Dan Bossi thinks some of the action is positioning ahead of Friday's supply-demand report.
I think a lot of these fund managers, as I talk to our clients, you know, they're questioning themselves and pinching themselves and saying, hey, do I really want to have this big position of shorts on heading into a new growing season with two USDA reports ahead in the month of March? And I think that's why we're seeing some of this covering and at least giving some evening up.
Some of that short covering began last week.
Corn was down about 49,000 contracts, so that was a help. In fact, this was the first week this year that we had actually funds not adding to their position, down 12,000 contracts in total. So that was a nice omen, if you will. But I think there's more of that to come. I think the worry about some of the temperatures across the central U.S. combined with China has been pretty active in Ukrainian corn. They bought some Canadian canola today, and also staying very active in the Brazilian soybean market has got their attention.
Farmer selling in the grain market is nearly non-existent. RCM Ag Services broker Steve Wagner does not expect that pattern to change anytime soon.
Pretty quiet, really, and I think that's going to be the overriding factor. Farmers just aren't interested in engaging right now.
AgMarket.net hedging strategist Jacob Burks expects the market to be choppy ahead of Friday's USDA report.
Historically, you see a lot of change here, but it's looking down there. Will the USDA change what's going on in South America, what we're projecting as far as production down there? I think that'll be the big focus as we go into the March USDA WASDE report on Friday.
Margins are expected to be tighter on the farm this year. FBN Financial General Manager Dan English cites the current economic environment.
Well, I think, you know, this certainly isn't going to be probably as profitable as years, unfortunately, as we saw a year or two ago. The good news is I think we're expecting to see a little bit of relief on interest rates here in the second part of this year. The Fed's talked about how they're going to lower rates. There's a lot more pressure on farmers this year with higher interest rates, higher input costs, and lower prices, and so it's going to be a tough year.
Decisions for this planting season are still being made.
Sensing that as well.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a very different year than it was last year, which is a very different year than the year before. And so I think farmers have taken kind of a wait-and-see approach this year. Now, we're coming up on the time period where they're going to have to start making some decisions, and so I think people are starting to get off the sidelines, start to think a little bit more about their plan and kind of see, pencil out the numbers to see where they're going to end up and then make a decision.
The North Dakota Soybean Processors Crush Plant is expected to be operational by early summer. This is a joint venture between Minnesota Soybean Processors and CGB Enterprises. Ron Obermuller is a member of the Minnesota Soybean Promotion Board, and construction says construction has gone well.
North Dakota Soybean Processing Plant at Castleton is... everything's pretty well enclosed. They've worked all winter on all the plumbing, all the electrical. They had gas to all the buildings before it froze up. They had water to all the buildings. 80 to 90% of the circle track and the track is done. The dump pit is done, so they got to do some more building around the pits and stuff. And they got elevation and some of those conveyors to do, but it's getting to be really a fun, beautiful-looking project.
This new project begins in a very good financial position.
Both companies had very good years. It's kind of been built out of cash flow. So, no, like I say, if it doesn't go full bore, I mean, the only questions we got right now on the financial side is they're majority ownership, so how fast are they going to take depreciation and some of these things? I mean, there's a lot of little things in there, and I guess that's what makes it fun.
Chevron has shut down its biodiesel plants in Ralston, Iowa, and Madison, Wisconsin. Those two facilities had a combined capacity of 50 million gallons of biodiesel per year. This is the Red River Farm Network.
Tuesday Farm News on the Red River Farm Network. The Farm Bill is still in the works. Red River Farm Network farm broadcaster Whitney Pittman has more.
Farm Management Analyst Kent Tesey says while some...
South Dakota Governor Kristi Noem has signed legislation that places restrictions on foreign ownership of agricultural land. It specifies six foreign adversaries: China, Cuba, Iran, North Korea, Russia, and Venezuela. The bill also strengthens the enforcement of those protectants.
Federal appeals court has overturned an EPA rule on the use of chlorpyrifos last fall. NDSU Extension entomologist Jan Canola reports two products are registered for use this growing season. Pilot 4E is a liquefied formulation that can be used on several crops, and Pilot 15G is a granular formulation that's used to control sugar beet root maggot. Even with registered products, Canola said availability may be limited this season.
BASF is out with a new digital product, Zarvio Field Manager. Red River Farm Network farm broadcaster Tyler Donaldson has more.
By utilizing new risk models, Zarvio Field Manager can help producers figure out the right time to get out into their fields and spray. According to BASF Director of Digital Farming for North America, Justin Galliard, this technology can help with analyses over a variety of factors.
It really is helping to drive planning from the start to the harvest of season. So everything from soil preparation, fertilization, seeding, all the way through to harvest. And what we're really excited about is that we're bringing really unique agronomic models that are supporting decision making in the field during the season. So an example of that would be a disease risk model. And so we're giving advance notice to the agronomist of when disease is likely to be in the field, allowing for that agronomist to determine when they should get out to the field and spray.
It's all about timing and knowing where and when to both spray and plant. And Galliard says that Zarvio Field Manager can help with both.
It's making sure that they get it at the right time. Yeah. So because the pests are coming, whether or not we want them to be there, right? And so if we can really position when that disease is going to show up in the field, then the right actions can be taken.
The technology is designed to work with any variety of plant crop and therefore is not limited to any specific brands or products that a farmer might be using for their specific field.
The great thing is that with Zarvio Field Manager, it's an agnostic platform that's really supporting disease timing and alerts around that. So disease is a disease, a pest is a pest, crop phenology is crop phenology. So when the crop is growing and we can predict what stage that crop is going to be in throughout the season, that's a value. And it's up to the agronomist and the crop consultant to decide what product would be best for that field.
That was BASF Director of Digital Farming for North America, Justin Galliard. For the Red River Farm Network, I'm Tyler Donaldson.
Michigan State University has released a study evaluating the importance of exports for the U.S. potato industry and the general economy. National Potato Council CEO Cam Quarles says this is new research and it delivered impressive results.
A little over $4.5 billion every year is generated for the U.S. through potato exports, and over 34,000 jobs are supported from those activities. So pretty exciting. And then the big question is how much can you expand that with new markets?
The farm gate impact from international trade was known, but this research provided insight into job creation and the entire economic impact. It also offered hope for more growth.
If we're able to fully build out Mexico, get Japan open, get some growth in some of our current markets, what does all that look like? And that would add an additional 21% to all of those numbers. So an additional $1 billion to the U.S. economy, and then more than 5,000 jobs would be created if we can get what we think are some relatively achievable gains in all of these key markets that we spend so much time focusing on.
U.S. Meat Export Federation Chair Randy Sprong says the relationship between crop production is key to the success of animal protein production.
I think they're asking great questions. They want to know what the value of beef and pork exports are back to the price of a bushel of corn or a bushel of beans. So they're important cooperators with us here. In other words, we look at raising, in my industry, pork, and it's the same thing with beef. You look at the life cycle analysis of red meats and the feed grains. Our feed is a critical important part of that. We can't say we're a sustainable product without understanding what's happening on the farm as we produce our grain and soybeans. And so they're critical to us. And actually, we bring more revenue back to the farm, which it's just a great symbiotic relationship.
This is the Red River Farm Network.
Good morning. Welcome to Inside Agriculture on the Red River Farm Network. A small percentage of the crop acres in the region remain in flux. Gowan, Northern Plains sales representative Marcia Van Leer, says the weather may be the determining factor.
You know, a lot of that has to do with this early spring. So some of those fringe acres, you know, some of those guys might decide to stay with wheat instead of switching over to corn or soybeans or anything else, or, you know, canola. The only thing I've pretty confident on is sunflowers are probably going to be down. That's about the only crop I'm confident on at this time.
Van Leer expects dry edible bean acres to increase as much as 30%. Farmers are encouraged to lock in crop inputs now.
I will say right now, Gowan is okay on supply. I mean, we're not flush on everything, but we are okay on supply. What's going to happen is we're going to get hit hard early, which is going to affect other areas, and it's going to be an issue of getting the product up where it needs to be.
New Seed is contracting with farmers for its Omega-3 canola production system. North American Strategic Marketing Manager Debbie Stiles says a limited number of contracts are available.
Today we have about 30,000 acres of contracts left, not very many. So if growers are interested in wanting to grow and try omega-3 canola this year, then they need to get a hold of their local field sales manager and get it contracted soon.
There is a difference between the New Seed Omega-3 canola system and commodity canola.
With the grower, he contracts it, he grows it, contracts it, we buy it back, and we have a direct line of sight on the consumer. So the grower is very, he knows that the market's growing, the consumer demand is growing, he has full control over when he and at what price he wants to contract, and there's lots of good things in the contracts, like an act of God clause. There's trucking included in the contract. It's one of the best contracts I've ever seen for a grower.
The product will ultimately be used for the human nutrition market or aquaculture. A down start to the morning. We are looking at the futures trade as we speak. Minneapolis wheat May 1.5 down at 6.58. Chicago wheat for May down 7.75. Hard red winter wheat May down 5.5. May corn down 1.75 cents, 4.28 1/4. New crop corn down 2.5. May soybeans, 11.49 1/2, down 5.5 cents. New crop soybeans down by 4 cents. Checking in on the farm calendar, the NDSU planter test stand schedule for our beet growers. Today in Grafton, they'll be at Pro Ag. Tomorrow they'll be in East Grand Forks at the Steve Adams at the shop there. University of Minnesota Extension has a program on healthy soil and beet production. That's going on in Wahpeton today, a 9:30 start. That'll be held at the City Brew Hall, taking a look at cover crops, the impact on beet yield, and on quality. And coming up on Thursday, CHS Ag Services has its annual Ag Day, Ag Industry Day in Grand Forks. Have a good one. You're listening to the Red River Farm Network.